So now I'm going to read an excerpt from a class given on March the 26, 1976 in Delhi on Srimad Bhagavatam 7944. So only the devotee, Krishna conscious devotee, he can deliver them. He goes from town to town, village to village, house to house, to bring this message of Krishna and deliver him. Prahlad Maharaj is promising, Naitan Vahaya Kripanan Vimuksha Eko. I do not wish to go alone. Give me some strength so that I can deliver someone, some of them. It is not possible to deliver all of them. But that is very important engagement of for Vaishnav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, we can understand a Vaishnav very nicely when we see that he has converted so many conditioned soul into Vaishnav life. That is the estimation of a Vaishnav. If I simply try for myself, I may be very advanced devotee. That is not very much appreciated by Krishna. Prayena deva munaya sava mukti kama. Everyone is interested. There is Gosti Ananda Nandi and Bhajanandi. Bhajanandi is interested for his own welfare, or they think it that he is not competent enough to preach. Therefore, he does not go for preaching work. Svava mukti kama. Let me look after my own affairs. Oil your own machine. And here's a comments from a room conversation, 10th of May 1969 in Columbus. Everyone is thief. Anyone who is not in Krishna consciousness, he is thief. He'll not be happy. The best thing is to return whatever he has possessed. Krishna, it is yours. Take it. Finish business. Manasa deha geho yoki chumor sharanagati. My dear Lord, whatever I have in my possession, I surrender unto you. And what do I have? I have this body and mind. I have a little home, my wife and children. But whatever I have, I surrender everything unto you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. Now everything we possess in mind, actually you don't possess. Suppose I am possessing all this. As soon as I go from this body, all possession will remain here. I will not take anything, so I don't possess. And here's a lecture, Ishopanasad, verse number 9, 13th of May, 1970, Los Angeles. So leaders should think over it, that what we are producing, in spite of so many educational institutions, that is hinted here, that because you are worshipping avidya, that is not knowledge. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung very nicely, Jada Vidya Sabha Mayara Vaibhav. Jada Vidya. Jada Vidya means this material education. He says they are expansion of this Maya. Jada Vidya. Jada Vidya Samayara Vaibhav. Tomara Bhajani Bada. The more we shall advance in this material education, the more we will be hampered to understand what is God. And at last we shall declare, God is dead. I am God. You are God. This, all this nonsense. And here's a lecture from London, September the 3rd, 1971, on the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita Janmahau, my dear Lord, I have no objection if I have to take my birth next as an insect. What to speak of human being or other thing? As an insect, but I must be in the house of a devotee. So that an insect, by eating the remnants of foodstuff left by the devotee, he'll be delivered. Kita janmaho jatatuya, bahir mukha brahma janma nahi mora ash. I don't want my next birth as Lord Brahma if I forget you. I don't want. That is wanted. A devotee prays to the Lord that he would be able to constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Never mind whether as insect or as king or as dog. Never mind. That is devotees, pure devotee. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So I just chose those things because it gives a broad understanding of some of the more famous parts of the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how he says he wants to be an insect rather than be Lord Brahma if he's averse to Lord Krishna. And he was very strong in condemning material education, as Srila Prabhupada did as well. In fact, there's one of his bhajans, Vijara Vilas, which is partly quoted here. Jadavijja Jata Mayara Vaibhav, that this material knowledge is nothing more than an expansion of Maya. Just it is simply Maya. And the first lecture I was quoting, it emphasized the preaching spirit of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how he's so much desiring to spread Krishna consciousness, and he has laid down the yardstick. He has said, you want to know if someone's advanced? Just see how many devotees they can make. So this is a very objective standard that we can apply. If someone is parading as an advanced Vaishnav, but they're unable to actually spread Krishna consciousness, then we can understand from the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we need not accept necessarily that that person is so advanced. They may be. Sometimes, it's said in the Bhagavatam, just as sometimes the mountains release a flow of water, and other times the river dries up. In the same way, the saintly person, sometimes they speak this Krishna Katha, and other times they keep quiet. So just because we go through lean spells in preaching, it doesn't necessarily mean there aren't advanced devotees on the planet. If that were the case, then there would have been no advanced devotees prior to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because practically speaking, Vaishnavism was in a very shrunken, not so well known form, and it was actually very much associated with the Sahajas, because some so-called Vaishnavas were given a bad reputation to the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So that didn't mean that such devotees like Jagannath Das Babaji wasn't qualified. Remember, Prabhupada would say that the Vaishnav, advanced Vaishnav, can deliver the whole world, but sometimes they don't do that, and they leave that work for people like us to do. Srila Prabhupada said Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have delivered the entire world, but he left some work for us, you see. It's all about finding engagement in Krishna's service. We will do it, we will get the glory. That is the thinking of the great acharyas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born 1838. So it won't be long until it will be the 200th anniversary. So a long time ago. And he was born in Birnagar. Now, the last time I gave class, I mentioned this place, Birnagar. Srila Prabhupada went there with some of his disciples, and he made an arrangement with those that were running the place that he would help to renovate the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it seemed at first that this was going to happen. And it was under the control, I believe, of Lalita Prasad, one of the brothers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Prabhupada, he went away and he came back later, and then the mood had changed. The people that were in control decided they didn't want ISKCON involved in any renovation project. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada started getting quite agitated almost. He was, Jaipur Thakurmaraj describes it, because he was there. He said he was one level below shouting at them. Now, they were senior devotees. They were like, I mean, obviously, the godbrother of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is a senior devotee. So as a matter of etiquette, Prabhupada couldn't really chastise them. But he was getting angry, and he was saying to them, is it not a sin if someone offers to help renovate this place, and you stop that, is it not a sin? And he kept saying this over and over again. And after he walked out, he commented to his disciples, I presented it as a question, therefore it was not an offense. If he'd said to them, you are sinful because you're not helping, then that would have been offensive. But he just raised it as a question. Just an interesting point of etiquette. So if you have a point of etiquette, if you have a disagreement with a senior devotee, you could ask it as a question, you know. That way you're less likely to be offensive. Anyway, so of course, at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's birth and growing up, they didn't have the advances of modern medicine. So it was kind of like, when you read the life story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially the early days, it was very harsh. Nature was very harsh. People were dying. His family members were dying. I mean, when you look at, he had like, what, two brothers died when he was just a child. His sister died. later on, you know, he would go to Calcutta because he was intellectually very capable, so he was getting an education in Calcutta. And he'd go back and discover that his village was practically wiped out from cholera, epidemic, so forth. When he was married, shortly after, just I think it was actually at childbirth, his first wife died. I mean, if someone in the modern age experienced all this, I mean, they'd probably be on antidepressants. They'd probably be a bit mentally a bit unstable because it's the drama of the whole thing. But in those days, that's what it was like. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very much of a warrior, and he bore all that suffering and carried on in a very dutiful manner. And he had a lot of responsibility on his head. Just as, even as a teenager, the family estate was in trouble, and I think his parents had died. He had to look after the finances, and so he was plunged into a position of responsibility at an early age. I mean, nowadays most people are children are just playing on little games and Kindles and all stuff. They don't have to manage a family estate. Now, his father was Ananda Chandra. He was a religious man. His mother, Jagan Mohini, was said to be a very pious, chaste woman, very devoted to her husband. And she came from aristocratic background. So her father was a zamindar, wealthy person. But that didn't mean that Bhaktivinoda Thakur always had a wealthy condition, because the family estate fell into disrepair. There were some financial problems, so they ended up with very little money, which is obviously very troubling, especially if you're used to a high standard of living. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he presents himself as a sadhana siddha. He goes through the periods of life where he's seeking the truth. He's interested in Christianity. He's a product of the British system of educating the intelligent Indians in British taste. So they're trying to convert the Indians to Christianity. And their motive was, if we can create an intelligent class of Indians, then they can then spread that mood to the rest of India. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was an ideal person for this because he was very, very intelligent. In fact, he was in many ways like Nimai Pandit. It said that as a logician, no one could defeat him. But at that time, like Nimai Pandit, he had not committed himself to being a Vaishnav. Of course, he was a Vaishnav, but he hadn't committed himself. So, in fact, when he did become a Vaishnav, a Gaudiya Vaishnav, some of his opponents, they were lamenting. They said, well, if someone of his caliber had joined our camp, then our philosophy would be better propagated. So some of them were actually surprised that he chose Vaishnavism. Anyway, he was, as I said, presented himself as a sadhana siddha, though it's understood that he's actually a nitya siddha. So who is he in the spiritual world? Anyone know? Kamala Manjari, yes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's very open about who he was. Generally, our acharyas, they don't openly reveal their identity, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done so. One of his songs is called Siddha Deha. You can read how he's, I think it's a 12-and-a-half-year-old Manjari called Kamala Manjari, who's preparing sandalwood under Ananga Manjari, who's under Lalita, and he's got this sari with star patterns on it. He reveals all this in one of his bhajans, which is very, very amazing, because generally speaking, we find out the identity of our acharyas through a revelation from one of the followers or a group of followers. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So that's his position. He's a Nitya Siddha Kamala Manjari. But he presented himself as someone who was seeking the truth, who was, at the time when he lost his first wife, he actually married almost immediately afterwards, and he was criticized for that. But he was very practical. He had a child, had to be looked after. At that time, he says in his autobiography, it's known as Svalikata Jivani. That's the autobiography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Rupa Vilas Prabhu has done some excellent work. He's written the biography, Seventh Goswami. And much of the information we have about Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes from his autobiography, which he wrote and sent to Lalita Prasad, one of his sons. Lalita Prasad and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, they kind of were probably the two most prominent sons of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and spiritually they diverged. So Lalita Prasad, his particular way of practicing spirituality was somewhat different. It was more based on the Siddha Pranali, on... Anyway, it's not considered by us to be the bona fide path. But anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sent a long letter to Lalita Prasad, and that is the autobiography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So in there, he describes how he had conviction in the personal feature of the Supreme, and he also had conviction in the impersonal feature, but he did not know how to reconcile the two. As I said, that was around the time that he lost his first wife. So what is the solution? Who gave the solution? It's obviously Lord Chaitanya, right? Lord Chaitanya has given the solution. What is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya that reconciles the impersonal and the personal feature? Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, yes. So actually in the Dasamula Tattva, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has presented to us, and I don't know if he's the origin of the Dasamula Tattva, that's the 10 fundamental truths of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He either put it in that form it is in now, or else he borrowed it from someone, one of the previous acharyas. The Dasamula Tattva, I'll go through it in a minute. It's similar to the teachings of Madhvacharya. If you look at the teachings of Madhvacharya, there are a set of principles that he gives. And I'm not sure if it's 10, it might actually be 9 principles that he gives. But when it's presented by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it becomes 10 principles, and it's very similar to what Madhvacharya has presented. So it begins, Amnaya Praha. Amnaya means, what is the source of knowledge? And the answer is the Vedas and the commentaries of the pure devotees. That's Amnaya. And then Tatvam Harim Iha Paramam, that the Supreme Absolute is Lord Krishna, who's also known as Lord Hari. The next truth, that's the first two truths. The first truth is Praman, which means where we get our reverence from. The other 9 truths are known as Prameya, which means what we learn from the scriptures and from the acharyas. Prameya means what is the object of knowledge. And Prameya itself is also divided into, when he presents these 10 truths, of those 9 Prameyas, the first 7 are Sambandha Gyan, the 8th is Abhideya Gyan, and the 9th is Prayojana Gyan. So we're going through the Sambandha at the moment. The first Sambandha is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The next one is Sarva Shakti, that Krishna is the source of all energies. Next one, Rasabdi, he's an ocean of mellows. Next one, Tad Binangshang Chajivan. The jivas are his fragmental parts. Prakriti Kavalitam, some are conditioned. Tad Vimuktangs Cha Bhavat, some of them are liberated. And then the 8th truth, Beda Beda Prakasham Sakalam Api. Everything in creation is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. And we can be very grateful to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for so elaborately describing this tattva, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. He does so in Jiva Dharma. He gives an analogy, which is also given by Jiva Goswami, how Krishna's body is like the sun, the paraphernalia of Krishna, the avatars of Krishna, and the holy name. They're like the surface of the sun. The jivas are like the rays of the sun, and the material energy is like a reflection of the sun. So the sun rays, the reflection, the surface of the sun, they're all one with the sun, but they're also different from the sun. So this is the analogy that he uses to convey Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And it's a nice analogy because as you go, move away from the sun, you know, like a reflection of the sun is not as one, is more different than one, whereas the surface of the sun is more one than different. So as you go through the different categories, there's degrees of difference and oneness. So it's nicely elaborated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's the 8th of the Dashamula Tattva. The 9th, now we're on to the one truth that is referring to Abhideya Gyan. That's Harech Sadhana Shuddha Bhakti, that pure devotional service is our sadhana. And that may raise some question. How can pure devotion be our sadhana? I thought pure devotion is what we're striving for. But what's actually meant is our goal must be pure devotion. And when we chant, we're chanting for pure devotion. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamayi. Yeah? We do no desire for woman, wealth, the flowery words of the Vedas, all these things. That's all to be rejected. So hare sadhana shuddha bhakti. And the final one, sajyam tad pritim, that love of Godhead is our goal, our sajya. The word sajya means the goal. So this is the wonderful philosophy that has been encapsulated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So here's a question for you all. He wrote over 100 books. And one time, Srila Prabhupada identified two of those books as being the most important. Does anyone know which ones they are? Teachings of Lord Chaitanya? That wasn't one of them. Almost. It's got a similar name. Yeah, Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Maybe that's what you meant. But there's also the Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, which isn't one of the two most important ones. Which is the other one, most important one? Jiva Dharma, yes. This Jiva Dharma is an incredible book. If you want to know about the philosophy, if you read one book on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you'll get the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy in that one book. And it's done so tastefully, so nicely. Each chapter, a certain discussion takes place. As I was mentioning, the Dashamula Tattva, those 10 truths are categorically gone through in the Jiva Dharma. So for me, that's the book. If I were to choose one book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's the one I would choose. But there's so many I've not even read yet. Anyway, going back, so we were discussing how he appears as a sadhana siddha, although he's a nitya siddha. So when he read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, then he could understand how the impersonal and the personal balanced. But then he had another doubt, and it was this. How can such a wonderful person as Lord Chaitanya worship this Krishna who is a debauchee? He dances with other men's wives. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually describes himself this way. He could not understand why it was that Lord Chaitanya should worship Lord Chaitanya who had such a high moral standard should worship Lord Krishna. But as he researched Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it all came together and he became a great lover of Lord Krishna and devoted his life to spreading Krishna consciousness. So I'll tell a little bit about his early birth. He said that he was quite ugly as a baby. And his mother thought, let him be ugly, just let him live. Because so many children in the family were dying. As I mentioned, several brothers died, and his sister died. So he was very fortunate. He had a long life. And I mentioned his maternal grandfather was a zamindar. So he called Bhaktivinoda Thakur shortly before he died. He had some kind of mystic power. He knew when he was going to die. So he called Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he gave some predictions. He said, your career will start when you're 27. You'll have a very good career. And he also said, you'll become a great Vaishnav. And around 2 days after that, the grandfather of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he died. His life air exploded out of his head, which is a very unusual way to leave the body. But it's apparently very auspicious. So he was an advanced Vaishnav. We don't know so much about him, but the whole family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have some kind of connection to Vaishnavism. Although on his mother's side, they were Shaktas, worshippers of Durga. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur recalls how in his childhood, they used to celebrate Durga Puja and he'd comment that the goats were not very happy, whereas all everyone else was kind of in a joyful mood. But he was feeling compassion for the goats that were being slaughtered. So he was very soft-hearted. And as a child, he obviously was destined to greater things than to be a follower of, worshipper of Durga slaughtering goats. So obviously he advanced well beyond that. What more shall I say? I'll say it, I add Surabhi Kunj to sing the bhajan because it's, well, it's about Surabhi Kunj and she also sings it quite often. When she took initiation, she was told to record bhajans, so I'm trying to encourage her to do that. Although I seem to be more enthusiastic in her doing it than she is in herself, so I'm a bit worried about that. Anyway, I even started... You're too busy. All right. Okay. Well, it will happen one day, hopefully. There's a connection between Lord Nityananda and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I'll talk about. There's also a connection between Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I'll talk about. And also there's a connection between the Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it's interesting these three strands are there. And actually, if you look at the Pranam Mantra, let's break it down. The term Bhaktivinoda, I was researching where these words came from, and actually we have answers. There is a certain Sripad Acharya Kula who, he was obviously some spiritually prominent person, I don't know anything about him, but he gave this title to Kedaranath. Remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a child he was known as Kedaranath, it's a name for Lord Shiva. He gave the title Bhaktivinoda to Kedaranath, and he accepted it as the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Now, the word Vinod, it means pastime. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda means pastimes of devotion. Bhaktivinoda can also mean the pleasure of devotion. Or if you put the two together, one who takes pleasure in the pastimes of bhakti. So that's how we can understand the word Bhaktivinoda. So that's where that comes from. So why is he known as Satchidananda? Anyone know how he got that name? Okay, he wrote I don't know if it was a poem or a book. I've not seen this work, but it's known as Satchidananda Prema Alankara. It's a glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Satchidananda Prema Alankara. So after writing that, because it's got the word Satchidananda in it, he became known as Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, Gaura Shakti. So that's interesting. So who is the Gaura Shakti? Let's remember that all Shaktis are persons. They're not impersonal. So who is the Shakti of Gaura? Think of the Panchatattva mantra. Gadadhar Pandit, yes. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So in this Panchatattva mantra, Bhakta Shaktikam refers to Gadadhar Pandit. So actually, if you look at the writings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, at one point he identified Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, I see Gadadhar Pandit in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he also said, I see Swarup Damodar in Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So there's some deep connection between Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we know also that Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped Gaura Gadadhar deities. He also said that in Gaura, in Navadvip, Radha Madhava have manifested as Gaura Gadadhar. You see, so his deities, Gaura Gadadhar. He also had Radha Madhava deities. He had Kunja Bihari, Gopijana Vallabha deities. Does that ring a bell? What bhajan do we sing? Jaya Radha Madhava. When we sing this bhajan, we're actually referring to the personal deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopijana Vallabha. And so this is this Gaura Gadadhar worship, which is Radha Madhava, in effect, is what he's saying. This was the particular worship that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was involved in. And we know that Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he did not spread Gaura Gadadhar worship. He emphasized Gaura Nitai worship. So, for example, we sing the arti to Gaura Chandra. There's a very similar bhajan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur where it's Gaura Gadadhar arti. It can be sung to the same melody. And in fact, the line Shankya Bhaji, Ganta Bhaji, that whole verse is identical in the Gaura Gadadhar Arti. And in that Gaura Gadadhar Arti, he's talking about, it's a very elevated bhajan. He's referring to his internal service to Krishna as making sandalwood. I mentioned before as Kamala Manjari, he makes sandalwood. So he's preparing sandalwood in this bhajan. And he's singing this at Surabhi Kunj. So Surabhi Kunj also connects to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda spread the Nam Hat at Surabhi Kunj. And it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur that identified this place, Surabhi Kunj, my understanding. We know that he had the vision of the Adbhut Mandir, which then became the Yogapit temple. Although in ISKCON we sometimes say the Vedic planetarium is the Adbhut Mandir, but if you look at the history of it, the Adbhut Mandir was recognized by the Vaishnavas as being the Yogapit temple. So we all know the story. He was in Godruma Dweep. Now he was staying, when he was living in Godruma, he was, part of the time he was at Surabhi Kunj, and then he moved to what's known as Svanand Sugada Kunj, which is more famous. It's just across the water from our ISKCON temple. Just go across to Jalangi. So I don't know where he was. He was in one of those places, but he had the vision, and it happened for several nights, and then he went and explored and found the Tulsi. The Muslims are saying this place is overgrown. I think it was under Muslim control at the time. And then he took Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and of course he was over 100 years old, but he leapt out of his basket. And that was this confirmation that this place was in fact the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore the Pranam mantras, Gauravir Bhavas Bhumistvam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyas Vaishnava Sarvabhomas Te Jagannathaya Te Namaha. That Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he's very dear to the Vaishnavas. He's the most exalted Vaishnav. And he's famous for being the one that identified the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. But actually it's a joint effort, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the initial vision. So I was mentioning how there's a connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Goswamis. So one of the obvious connections is he was a prolific writer, as the Goswamis were. But another connection is this. The Goswamis, they were revealing the holy places of Vrindavan. And in an analogous manner, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was revealing the holy places of Navadvip. So places like Surabhi Kunj, he identified and he lived there. And he, just like Lord Nityananda spread the Nam Hat from Surabhi Kunj, the Nam Hat preaching was revived by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that whole strain has now been rejuvenated more and more, and it's happening throughout the world in ISKCON. I mean, Jayapataka Maharaj was one of the great champions of the Nam Hat preaching. And this system of preaching, which is slightly different from the way that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was preaching. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his mood was temples and mats, brahmacharis doing like this. Whereas Bhaktivinoda Thakur was more about congregational preaching. You don't need to live in a temple. You just spread house to house, have little nam hats, you know, preaching centers like that. So this is a lovely song, the song of the broker. So the word for broker is dalala. So the song is known as the Dalalera Gita, the song of the broker. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is the broker. What he's saying is, you want to buy Shuddhanam, I'll take you to Lord Nityananda, you'll get your Shuddhanam, you'll be happy, I'll get commission, I'll be happy. So this is the spiritual commission. We know the Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam Paramam Guyam Madhbhakteshvabhidashyati Bhakti Mai Param Kritva Mami Vaishat Jasam Shaya. There is no, if one explains the supreme secret to the devotees, then pure devotional service is guaranteed. You see? So the marketplace, it's known as the Nam Hat. The Hat means the marketplace. So it's the marketplace of the holy name. And who's the owner? Lord Nityananda. And what's the word for owner in Bengali? Koda. Koda Nitai means he's the owner of the marketplace. So it said, Shraddha Mulye. That means the price. The price is Shraddha, Prema. or Shraddha faith. Shraddha Mulye Shudanam Seateti Bikai. He's selling the Shudanam, and the price is only faith. You see, you don't have any other qualification. If you just have faith in a holy name, it's for sale. Now, I don't know where this whole analogy came from, but there is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita the statement of Advaitacharya that rice is no longer being purchased in the marketplace. And it was a cryptic statement to Lord Chaitanya. He was saying, you've fulfilled your mission of spreading the holy name. There's no longer any buyers. Everyone's got the holy name. And that was the time when Lord Chaitanya more focused on his internal lila in the Gambira, Jagannath Puri, became more reclusive. So the analogy was given about rice in the marketplace. But here the analogy is the marketplace of the holy name. So Lord Nityananda is selling the holy name. So that's the connection, the Namhat and Bhakti Vinod Thakur. That's the connection between Lord Nityananda and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, like this. Anyway, I think it's about time to stop. I don't know what the plan is. Shall we have Pushpanjali? So I'll stop here and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki. Any comments or questions?